As a non-commercial educational radio station, KZSC supports the free expression of ideas. Please be aware that the opinions expressed are those of the speakers or artists only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the UC Region's KZSC staff, management, or underwriters. We welcome your feedback on our programming. Please direct your comments to the Program Review Committee at 831-459-4726 or by email at prc@kzsc.org.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to KZSC Santa Cruz. My name is DJ Jet Jaguar, and I'm here with Dr. Funkenstein.
Yeah, we got a full house today.
And DJ Potterstomp.
Yeah.
Y'all have cool DJ names. What was
Okay, so my name is Jet Jaguar. It's like a Godzilla character.
Okay.
He's like a robot mecha who comes. They built him in space to fight Godzilla, but then he's like, oh, we're all kaijus,
we're all
here.
Here.
Let's be friends. So like Destroy All Monsters, he's like an enemy, but then after he's like a friend. But he's really cool. Yeah, Jet Jaguar.
And yeah, I got some inspiration from George Clinton. I love funk and like boogie and all that stuff. So naturally, I have to. I think it was Dr. Funkenstein or what else?
It was something kind of. It was something with like more than five syllables.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we can't keep saying that.
No, exactly. Dr. Funk, Dr. Funkenstein, Funkenstein MD. You know, it's all interchangeable.
Funk.
Yeah.
And then DJ Fodderstomp.
Just gibberish.
Just literal gibberish.
Just a noise.
Just a noise. I love how like the backstory got like lower. Yeah. I just hit scramble on.
No, literally, I'm word scramble. So we're here with Tropa Mágica. Woo!
Shoo!
So we're here with David and Renee. Y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, hello. My name is Renee. I don't have a quick, cool, snappy name to keep myself, but yeah.
Yeah, my name's David. I play guitar and sing, and I also DJ sometimes.
Dude,
yeah,
really?
Yeah,
it's
been
That's
vinyl.
Awesome.
My DJ name is actually DJ Wampito.
Wampito.
Yeah. So my mom gave me that name because when I was little, I couldn't pronounce the V. So I instead of saying vampiro, like a vampire, I would say wampiro. And so I was like, oh, that sounds cool. So I kept that.
Heck yeah.
That's right, so sick. And you have the double V, like the two T for a vampire and the W. So, damn, there you go.
It's like, write that down, write
that down. Yeah, literally. Well, thanks for coming up to KZSC, our little cabin in the woods here in the mist, too. It's like super ambient outside. I love it.
It's really cool. It's pretty.
No, it's super beautiful.
I can't believe you guys have all this to yourselves. It's awesome.
No, it's amazing. We'll have to show you guys later, like, the record collection really quick and the CDs and vinyl room, too. It's, like, pretty awesome to check out. And there's some stuff that, like, people have labeled, like, gotten, like, you know, 1983, and it's just been here this whole time. And every time a DJ plays with a write-in note, like, played in 2022 or whatever.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's kind of cool to, like, kind of just pick up a random record and be like, wow, someone
yeah,
held
find
this,
original
like, 40
pressings
years ago.
And, like, some like, comments from some dude, like,
yeah,
like,
this song
ago.
Sucks, yeah. Or this song's awesome.
Don't play this, it curses.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, track four is, like,
yeah.
Oh, fire, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so we just want to start off by saying congratulations on 3 being released. It's an amazing record, and it was really cool to witness it last night. For some backstory, y'all played Moe's last night.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Have y'all played Moe's before, or was it your first time there?
Yeah, no, we played at Moe's before. We played with La Luz last year in November.
Oh, for sure.
And we haven't really headlined out here in a good minute, so it was like our first headlining show. And it was pretty good. It was a lot of fun. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, like, just kind of in terms of, like, 3's release, we heard that this album was created virtually, like, with you guys being different states. And so, like, what was the writing process like? And then...
Yeah, so that album was actually... So during the quarantine, my brother and I, to make ends meet, like, I started... He had like different. He was doing commissions as a painter because he's a painter as well, and so he was making money like that. And so what I did was I wrote songs for people, so they would be like Valentine's grams or like Mother's Day songs.
Right
and
on.
So we ended up using some of those songs And I'm like, I told Renee, hey, like, let's make them into tropa songs. And so he started writing the bass lines and drum parts for them. And they just came, like, more to life that way. And so it was more out of, like, necessity, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And we just, like, decided to compile it and put it together as an album. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, working virtually was interesting because it's, like, I don't think we've ever done that before where Renee, like, writes the parts and, like, the only feedback I could give him is through email or calling
him. It's not like live feedback. Yeah.
I think that worked out for a lot better that way.
Oh, yeah.
So that way it wasn't like...
We're not bickering.
Yeah, we're not nitpicking. Be like, no, not that. It's just
got to
like,
make that email count.
Yeah, it's just like... And it was great. I think for like certain songs, like I would probably spend like 8 hours just trying to figure it out. And if you're in a studio, like you're paying for that time. Yeah. So you're not going to be doing that. So it was great.
That's cool.
The learning process.
Do you guys have like home studios you guys recorded this in for this album, or like would you like working it at home and then kind of digest everything, and then like when you feel like kind of satisfied, you like take it to the studio? Like, yeah, this is like you have an idea of like what you want.
We
already
wanted to do that, but we decided to kind of keep the vibe that I had, which was just, you know, the email. It was my first time recording myself. I did a lot of mistakes and learned a lot, but yeah, it was just like a home studio, a little interface. Plug in, record. Yeah, this song.
Yeah, this is a banger.
And it was cool because usually like I focus on the drums only, but since I got to do the bass parts as well, I actually did like the bass first, and so I got to just kind of give the bass a lot of like, you know, the rhythm, so that when the drums come in, like it was really simple, and easy. But then I realized afterwards that I should have recorded the drums first. Like have a scratch bass, you know, then record the drums and then do the bass again. But no, I was, but it worked out for the best.
This is like honestly my favorite song from the album. I know you guys put it out. I was like, I gotta run out there and go dance.
No, we were getting ready to go. Like for yesterday, I listened to the I think Cumbia Mamon, and I was like, yo, Hombres G, will you represent?
I'm but really proud of that bass line too.
Seriously.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, if I could, do you guys both work on like lyrics and writing stuff together, send stuff back and forth with that stuff, or is it kind of more of like split into roles?
I let David handle the lyrics because it's like you're gonna be singing this. So make it something that, you know, more personal to you. Cause I don't want to like write a song about like my girlfriend and be like, here, sing this
and mean it. Put some feeling into it.
You know, I wasn't quite feeling the love in that song.
Yeah, let's turn it up two notches.
So I tend to like write most of the melodies and lyrics, but then sometimes Renee will have like a general idea for a song, chord changes, and then I'll build a melody off of his chord changes. For like La Flor, he's the one that came up with that, like the Chalino song, Chalino Se Siete Balazos. Renee did he had like this weird riff that, and I'm like, we could use it, but we gotta like work with it and like just condense it. And
yeah, it was just like this little medley, like it just kind of kept going and would get weird, but it wasn't a song fully. It was just, you know, like noodling. And that's when David just kind of gave me the idea of like, look at, you know, find a little hook, a little, you know, or something.
Yeah, a little catchy something.
And so we came up with it, like da 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 da. I was like, cool, and we ran with it. We were in the garage, my parents' garage, when we did that too.
Oh, really? That's sick. So, like, in terms of writing songs, like, is it easier or harder to write like a commission song, or like just think of your own lyrics on the fly? Because I feel like with a commission, you already have like a skeleton. Like, okay, this person wants this, this, and this. So how do I just make it sound sing-songy? Like,
so a commission song is actually, I'm putting my cards on the table. So what I'll do is like I'll write like two or three songs, like a cumbia style one, a corrido style one, or rock and roll style song, and then I show those three songs to the people that are going to commission me. I'm like, pick a song, and then I'll write the lyrics, custom lyrics to their song. So I'm not recording like 20 songs. It's three songs, but just doing a bunch of different variations of it. And that's actually a lot easier because it's less pressure. Like, as an artist, you kind of want to be like, I want to write like a really great song or whatever, but as a commission, it's kind of like, well, they need it by this time, and so it's kind of like, you know, like kind of like taking a test or something. You know, you got to prepare and just do it. Like, you got to just do it. And so, yeah, doing a commission song is way easier.
And I feel like it's more set, like, you know who it's for, as opposed to like I want everybody to like it.
Yeah,
you know?
I
want to
be artsy about it.
So kind of going into like you guys's, I read a couple interviews and you guys described yourself as psychedelic cumbia punk and with like some grungy American influences, like with growing up here and with System of a Down and like Nirvana.
Like,
just the name of you. So like in terms of like genres, is there any other genres you guys would like want to tap into in the future?
Most likely. Yeah. We just got to come around to it. I think so. But usually, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really thought about that. We just kind of, you know, for a while it was just cumbia. It was like, let's just write a cumbia song, and it's been slowly shifting away from that.
Yeah, I think our second album, the Tripeando al Infinito, that one was more like, let's try different genres, because that one is like, it has disco in it. It has like more like doo-wop, well, not a doo-wop, but kind of like a ballad style.
Like soul-y,
kind
of.
Yeah, and so it's like, that one's very eclectic, and
so is the first one.
Yeah, and so this third one, Tropa Tres, that one's more consistent. I feel like it's more like cumbia, you know, it's like what the fans want and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we set out to do, actually, with that album. It's like, this one's for the fans, like, let's just do some Tropa Mágica stuff.
Mm-hmm. So
and yeah, because prior to that, it got a very, very artistic. And then the first album, we were listening to like Edith Piaf, Joan Sebastian. We kind of wanted to go a little bit with that big band thing in mind.
Yeah, that's dope.
And we had like seven people playing for us.
Yeah, with the minor chord progressions, that like gypsy jazz style
for sure
is like a big influence.
Edith Piaf, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Django Reinhardt.
Yeah, so. He's iconic. I love him.
I love Edith Piaf's Chola Eyebrows.
Oh my god. It was French eyebrows at the time. But yeah. Well, okay, so like kind of like a follow up question is like, I know y'all have Smells Like Cumbia. That's like what I was first introduced to you guys. I heard Mr. Lu and I was like, yo, who are these? Like, who is this? Amazing. So like what like made you guys want to decide on Nirvana specifically, and why not like System of a Down or like someone else?
Next time we're doing System of a Down.
I think it's because like cumbia songs are very driven by the melody, and so it's like the catchy riff, the melody, you know, if you hear La Chona, you hear that accordion.
Yes.
And so it's with Nirvana songs, what's also catchy about them is that the hooks, you know, the melodies, but what hits, and plus like, you know, it's the band that I really got into in high school. Mm-hmm. So it felt easier to do that. And also there was this record by Little Roy from, he's from Jamaica. He's a
I think I've heard it. Maybe not listened.
It's an album called Battle for Seattle, and he does all these Nirvana songs, reggae, like ska style.
Yeah, that's why I know.
And so when we heard that, we're like, hey, that's not that far away from a cumbia. And so I'm, you know, like, and so that was the influence there.
Yeah, that's sick.
The cover y'all did last night for Come As You Are, right?
Yeah.
That was so fun. That was so fun. We put that up on the Instagram because we thought it was so awesome.
There was a moment when Dr. Funkstein and I were like standing there listening, and he was like, he heard you guys, like, I think he heard you singing in English when you guys were singing. I'm not sure, but like, there was like a realization. He was like, oh!
And there was this guy that was kind of grooving to it, and then you guys switched it to English, and his head just like five light bulbs. He's like, oh my god, that's why I like this. I know it's freaking Come As You Are.
That was actually the first time I sang the lyrics in English, because I normally don't. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it. And it worked. It was kind of hard to find the cadence,
because
I already have it in Spanish.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, shit.
You're like, what's in English again?
Well, okay, so kind of like going off of like influence and stuff, y'all have a really unique like visual and kind of like sonic aesthetic that's kind of like pop culture-y. There's like the Foo's Gone Wild song you guys have, the Pulp Fiction cover, a Cheech and Chong like ad that I saw you guys with, like your heads popping up like the joint. Super Mario Brothers with like the Koopas.
The Koopa cover.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
And then you guys even have your own like video game and like a mobile game. So like where did the idea of making a Flash game even come from originally?
So the band that we played with last night, Quien Sabe, they we did a collab yesterday with, or I sang the song with them, but it's a song by Chico Checa and Mata de Mota.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, you want to be a guest like singer? And I'm like, sure. And so I recorded in LA, sent them the track. And they were like, we're going to put a music video together. You guys down to be in it. And we weren't, because it's like we had to drive all the way up here for one day. And we're like, no. And then they're like, hey, we're actually going to do a video game. And so their video game, it's like Renee and I take a ride up to the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And we're like tripping on mushrooms, and so it's kind of like those like Frogger games, but like, you know, the cars are coming at you, so you're driving it, so you just grow up and down.
You guys lived Frogger.
Yeah. And so then, so
the car's like hotboxed, right? Like
we're hotboxing,
and the cops chasing us. And you guys trying to get away.
And so that was the idea. I was like, oh, you could do a video game and make a music video, and so. I had the idea of, like, I wanted a Super Mario style. I'm like Super Mario fan. I got the tap.
I mean, I saw the SNES cartridge or NES cartridges.
Yeah, I saw the merch table.
For the listeners, let them know what you got.
Yeah. So I got like a Super Mario tattoo, but it's like 8-bit style. So like that's what I'm a fan of, like more of the 8-bit nostalgia than more so than like. Because if people give me, like, a Mario toy, it's fun, but it's, like, I like if it's 8-bit, then it's like, I feel like that's what I'm more drawn to, that nostalgic element of it. But so we decided to, like, create our own video game after we worked with Quien Sabe, and I pitched the idea to the game creator, the guy who developed it for us, said he was, like, stoked for it, and he gave us a good deal, and Renee and I were like, hey, let's produce it, and,
Yeah, it's dope, and the music's super cool. Like,
it's super
it sounds
to,
super
like, 8-bit,
kind of.
Yeah.
So, in terms of like just pop culture, period, do you guys just want to maybe give us like a top three favorite movies? Maybe not of all time if you can't think of it, because that's like that's a personal question. Yeah. But like, you know, like top three of at this moment.
Movies or the video game?
Movies.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Well, for sure, Little Rascals.
Oh, yeah? Alfalfa?
Yeah.
I just saw that movie recently, and it's kind of like... Have you all seen that movie?
It's been a long time, but yeah.
It's kind of like... I feel like if it were to come out today, it might get canceled. Because, like, they have, like, the He-Man Woman Haters Club. And they're talking about, like, have you all, there's a funny
it's
scene.
It's been a minute.
Or there's a little lizard kid, and he's all
I
like.
I showed a lizard.
And she's like, yeah, so, like, a new girl moved into, like, across the street, and she wanted to play, so I showed her my lizard. And he brings out his little lizard, and I'm just like, dude, like, these little kids. It's like, yeah, it's pretty raunchy.
I mean, they learn their lesson in the end.
Yeah.
Friendship.
Yeah. Actually, they start hooking up way too early. They're, like, all hugged up at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the norms that they're pushing in that movie are, you know, it's like
where are these
hetero
kids' parents?
No, literally. When did that movie come out?
Like 94?
Oh, yeah. So not, I was like 80s maybe, but 90s? Oh,
94. Okay. It was directed by the same director that did Wayne's World.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. I know that.
Yeah, so there you go. So Little Rascals. I think pop culture for me would probably be like, I guess one of my favorite movies is Interstellar.
A classic.
Matthew McConaughey, Machu. Super Mario 3, the video game. And music-wise, probably... I guess Pixies aren't really, like, pop culture. But
they're pop culture, yeah.
They're culture,
yeah. Some Pixies, Doolittle.
Yeah. So, like, that's like my kind of, like, a follow-up to is, like, what are you listening to, like, right now? Artist-wise, music-wise, genre?
I'm listening to the new solo project by Brooks Nielsen from the
Growlers. I didn't know he had a solo project.
Yeah,
out.
He came back and it's pretty good. I'm digging it. Yeah, I got to check out his show. Amazing.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah.
He has that really distinct voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he does some of that and shit, what else? I think that's mainly what I've been listening to right now. And some other stuff, but it's just like a lot of names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'll just get on YouTube and then I just let it hit, go. Like, last time I was listening to, like, Juan Gabriel, Los Freddy's, Los Cadetes.
Nice.
But mainly, like, what I've been listening to is that new Brooks album. Mm-hmm. And it's just been giving me ideas of what, like not necessarily what I want to do, but just kind of, like, you know, sparking up that, like, I want to, you know, get ready to do some more writing.
Okay.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of follow-up question, so favorite video game and favorite video game soundtrack.
All right, that's the one I'm waiting for.
How much time you got?
So right now I've been like, I've only been playing a GTA 5 online with my friends. Just going there, being ratchet, you know, ruining people's days. And soundtrack is the Red Dead Redemption 2. That's some good stuff.
This is a Rockstar household.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah, like once you're about to start like some serious missions, like the base
the build up. Yeah,
you're just like, oh shit.
Have you played it through?
Oh yeah.
Okay, dope. Yeah. I didn't want to spoil anything.
No, yeah, it's cool, man. Yeah, I love that game. The online for that game is chill. There's not much to do. They're actually gonna take it out.
Right.
Like, it's no longer going to be online and just do GTA 5 online.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're having a huge update and everything, and they realize all their money makers in GTA.
Yeah.
So they're just...
What is there to do in online Red Dead?
Not much. Yeah. Like, there's a few things.
Yeah.
They just didn't really elaborate or, like, kind of develop its online.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's because like you're on a horse.
Yeah.
You know, like,
do you want to ride a horse, or do you want to ride in like rocket?
Yeah.
It's gonna take you forever. Like, but in GTA 5, you have like planes, helicopters, yeah, all this stuff. You can even ride a DeLorean in GTA 5.
And it flies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Cool.
Okay, so then. Kind of just like bring it back to like Santa Cruz. There's like this local cumbia scene here is more like over the hill, or it's more in like San Jose, Watsonville, Salinas. It's not too focused in Santa Cruz. So like, what brings you guys back to Santa Cruz? I know you said you've been here a few times, but like, what makes you want to come back?
The love.
Yeah. So recently we started doing more shows with Folk Yat. And so they're the ones I feel like that are like making an effort to bring like bands like that aren't typically out here, you know, from LA. Like, they're bringing next week the Altons out here.
Yeah.
Those are good buddies of ours. And so Folk Yat is like keeping us, like, you know, because sometimes we'll go like where we're asked to perform at. And so Folk Yat is responsible for that for sure, for bringing us out here. And I mean, it's always a pleasure to be out here because, like, we do it, like, our homies Quintana, they're from Watsonville, and then, like, people aren't scared to drive like 40 minutes, you know, to come to show out here. And so, yeah, I think that it's definitely that. And then plus, it's like beach town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice to get away from the heat.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, look at the weather outside. Right.
Misty, yeah.
This morning, I found myself saying, it's like, oh, man, I can't wait to get back to the heat. I was freezing.
So in terms of, like, you guys mentioned, like, Quinsave, and they're from Salinas, right? Or like, Watsonville?
Yeah, both of those, like, they're around there.
Okay,
yeah.
For sure. So, like, I kind of was stalking you guys' like upcoming shows, and you guys are doing a show with Meridian Brothers in LA, which is awesome.
Oh,
that's so dope.
I'm so pumped for that.
That's going to be so sick.
Are y'all coming down for that?
We'll see. Let me ask my boss real quick.
But, like, my question was, like, how do you guys, like, pick, or, like, what's the process of, like, just getting an opener, like, and...
So, I think they're headlining, well, I mean, I don't know, I think they're supposed to be headlining, because they asked us to do that show, and they were, like, our booking agent was, like, at first it was supposed to be, what's the band, Dengue 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 or something? No, I forgot what it was, but, he didn't know who the headliner was. He's like, yeah, I think it's his band, Meridian Brothers. And I'm like, dude, Meridian Brothers, like, we've been fans of them since, like, 2012 or something.
Oh, yeah, they're so dope.
Yeah.
What, I'll Show UFO, bro?
Yeah,
that album is really good. And so, yeah, when we found out that they were coming to the U.S., I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. Yeah. But to pick an opening band, I guess, like, sometimes we'll have more say in it, you know. We have friends. It's nice, like, to have, like, friends on the bill. And but sometimes it's more like whoever the promoter suggests, and then we'll listen to it. And, yeah.
Oh, but you do have, like, a...
We have a say.
Some input.
Yeah,
on,
some,
like,
input on it.
That's cool.
But, like, but, like, if we're touring, not really, because we don't know too many of the bands, you know, or, like, to pick from.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, like, yeah...
But I guess at this point, we're like, since we've been touring more often, like, we do have friends, like, in a lot of parts of the country, you know, except the Midwest. We don't really know anybody there. But, like, if it comes to, like, the West Coast, we, like, there's for sure bands, like, in Portland or Seattle. That,
so there's acts, like, you know, even up north, like, better kind of, like, doing the cumbia stuff? Or is it more, like, on the rock side?
I mean, sometimes it'll be, like, cumbia. I feel like because we... blend the rock and roll psychedelic element to it, the garage yeah. rock, it lends itself to a lot of things. So, like, for example, like, we can play or tour with La Luz and, like, play with Meridian Brothers, you know, and mm-hmm. it's like two different worlds, and really because cool. of what we're doing, it lends like itself.
Yeah, it works.
We're in that liminal space,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
She's got
yeah.
the psychedelic, the cumbia, and the punk. PCP for short.
For a minute, do y'all individually, like together as a band, have like a pre-show ritual before oh. every show? You guys, I don't know.
Any superstitions?
Oh yeah.
You can't wear a red undies.
Yeah, a little
on,
stitious.
Like,
yeah.
Night or something.
stretching. Yeah.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Stretching. I started warming up now, like my hands for drumming, because mm-hmm. I realize I can get stiff, like, mm-hmm. and but I'll just play through it, mm-hmm. and I've just been doing that for too long. I'm like, what am I doing?
It's coming
out. The floodgates.
But yeah, stretching, getting warmed up, maybe a little toke. Not really, though. Not much anymore.
Yeah, I feel like I was taking a microdosing a lot of, like, mushrooms before, and it got to the point where, like, the microdose became a dose.
Yeah.
So I stopped doing that. I think, like, because I sobered up 2 years ago, so I stopped, like, doing coke and, like, drinking alcohol. And so getting back on stage, especially, because like, I sobered up, like, during quarantine, mm-hmm. and... getting back on stage and like prep, like hyping myself up for it was like a process for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like now
definitely.
I'm a lot more comfortable
liquid
with
courage,
it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like tequila was my advice, you know.
Yeah.
And so getting on stage without that was kind of tough at first. Now it's more like, I don't know. I feel like it's more focused, and so stretching helps with that. I think just jumping around a little bit before going on stage, because like we come in like with energy where it's like, and yeah. So yeah. We could do the Fool. I wanted to do the Fool. Have you ever heard of the Fool?
No.
So the Fool is like, it's like this video of a guy, and it's like this inner like kung fu power. And he goes like, he's like, yo, I'm a donk, it's like a Fool. And he does that. He does it really loud. And like when you do that, it really like pumps you up, because you know.
Yeah.
Like I think like anything that takes you outside of like, because right now we're like on this frequency where we're like talking like this, right? Mm-hmm. But if I started like going like Fool, like super loud. All of a sudden, I'm hyped up and my heart rate's going, yeah. and so some things like that help for sure.
Yeah, that's some hot rod, yeah. like you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Ancestors protect.
May they protect you, soul of a bottlenose dolphin. So, do you guys have any crazy stories about just like touring in general? Like, I a little birdie told me y'all met Los Tigres del Norte
oh, yeah.
with your guys' dad. That's a trip.
That
literally.
Was literally.
I feel like we have like some pretty cool stories, but I'm just blanking out on them right now.
It's early. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at Tropicalia, that's where that happened, where we met Los Tigres del Norte.
That's so dope.
Yeah, so we got interviewed for this newspaper out in Long Beach, and they were asking us about Los Tigres, and we said like some, you know, some nice comments about them, because like, I mean, they're iconic, and after our set at Tropicalia, their manager was like, hey, are you guys Tropa Mágica? I'm like, yeah. Like, you guys said some things about Los Tigres, and I couldn't remember what we said, and I'm like, yeah, we did. And he's like, no, they really respected and appreciated what you guys said about them. And
right,
he's like, if y'all need anything, let me know. And I asked him, like, could we meet them? And he's like, here, get my number down. We can make that happen.
Oh,
and it was literally
God.
By appointment. He at 8 o'clock, at 7:55, he sent me a text. He's like, you guys ready? And so I told Renee, I'm like, yo, let's go. And our dad was there. And so we took dad to go meet him, because they're like his childhood heroes, you know? And yeah, Renee was tripping.
Yeah, like probably maybe like 30 minutes, an hour before that, I saw this homie there. He's like, you want some acid? I was like, all right, but just a little bit. Oh, man. And it hit.
Yeah, meeting them was great. And then, like, 2 years after that, Leo Dan, this, like, Mexican singer, he was there at Tropicalia, and I think he's Mexican, right? Or is he Argentinian?
He's
Latinoamericano.
Yeah, yeah.
And
honorary at best.
Yeah.
Or at worst.
And so he has this song, a duet that he did with Vicente Fernandez, and he asked the crowd, he's like, is there anyone named Vicente out here that wants to sing? And no, I raised my hand,
no one everyone just kind of looked at each other. Dang. And then David was like,
I'm like, I'll be Vincent. And so he called me on stage, and I ran back there, and there's, I was super, there's a video on YouTube where I'm singing with Lil Don, and so I run back there, and security doesn't let me in. They're like, but they radio in and like, no, he's fine. So I get on stage, and he has his mariachi up there, doing that song Esa Pared, and I blanked. I had to tell him, hey, what's the lyrics? And then he's like, si pudieras dejarme sería tan dichoso. And then once he said he did that part, then I'm like, okay, cool, because it's my karaoke song. And I blanked on it.
Standing on the spot,
You
got Real Don right next to you.
I couldn't believe it. So that was cool.
That's dope. So, you guys opened for Los Lobos, I believe, at the Rio Theater here last April.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then you guys also played, I think you guys opened for Chicano Batman. I'm not sure if it was here, but I know, at some point you guys have, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
We played with them quite a couple times.
We also played with Fiddlar out here at the Catalyst.
Oh, no way.
And
that's where I found my snare that I use now.
Yeah, so, we've been out to Santa Cruz a few times, but usually we're opening, so this was the first time where we were headlining, playing, a full set. You know, we usually do 45 minutes, which is, a condensed version of what you saw last night.
Yeah.
No, it was dope. And in terms of just kind of, sharing the stage with, other people, do you guys have, a dream collaboration? Whether you're sharing a track sharing the stage, opening, do you guys just have someone you'd always want to collaborate with?
I've never thought about that.
I think I'd be into collaborating with mariachi.
That would be dope.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
The Rancheras album.
A symphony, I guess. I've always wanted to do that.
A big band kind of thing.
Yeah. Croon it up,
I think it would also be cool to do something with Ty. Ty Siegel?
I feel
he would bring such a different element to what we're doing and bring out something that hasn't been done with what we're doing.
As far as producing or
as a producer, to see what he would do as far as recording us. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool.
What's up, Ty?
If you're listening, bro.
I'm at Ty of this.
Don't be like that fool. Come on.
I was supposed to see him at Felton last year, and I think one of his band members got pneumonia or something, and they had to cancel part of the tour, and it was such a bummer because he's amazing.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's kind of like that punky element you guys bring too. I feel
actually got to play with one of his early groups called the Epsilons. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah. I haven't, but that's pretty dope.
That's sick.
They have a sweet song. That was cool. At the Smell, the legendary Smell.
Really, I think it would be also fun to collaborate with La Femme. They're great from out of, they're in French band.
Mm-hmm.
They do a tropical,
maybe
electro punk kind of thing. So that would be really fun to do that. Or Combo Chimpita, I don't know if you heard of them. Mm-hmm. Combo Chimpita, Carolina, the singer, she has such a great voice. I think it would be great to do a duet with her.
That'd be dope. I have a fangirl, I want to see you guys. This is Eduardo Arenas from Chicano Batman. I love Marijuana and Marijuana too.
I saw one of the interviews.
You guys had a Marijuana shirt. We were like, you have that shirt. Yeah.
It was his birthday, I think, yesterday. 2 days ago.
Just turned 40.
Yeah.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
He looks good.
That's crazy.
40 looks good, huh?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. Send me the secret.
It's all the Marijuana.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I think we're out of time, but
perfect.
Yeah, cool. Any closing remarks?
We're gonna go to musical run.
thank you, Santa Cruz, and if you're listening for the first time, if this sparked your interest, check out our music. We're Tropa Magica. We're always on the road, and this is our full-time gig. So, thank you for the support and the love. Bueno, aquí está David Pacheco de Tropa Mágica. Está escuchando a KZSC Santa Cruz, California, 88.1 FM.
That's so dope.